Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on a beautiful Friday evening in New York City. I know everyone's going to go outside this weekend and enjoy the weather. I just hope if you do, you do it as safely as you possibly can. Even if you're wearing a mask, you know, the mask isn't the reason to be close to each other. You wear the mask and you stay away from each other. I just think sometimes we forget that. All that being said, let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Boomer. Okay, Boomer.
And then we say good evening to Don.
I love to swim.
Well, thank
pool's
you.
Open, by the way.
The pool is open. The indoor pool is open.
It's true. I have an indoor pool.
The indoor pool's been open all year.
No.
The outdoor pool's open, though.
Oh, both. Wow. Options.
Indoor's closed up because of lack of existence. The outdoor pool is open, and family's in it as we speak.
Wow. Got to be nice. What's that
you
like?
You know the great Al Troutwick had an indoor pool, and that was the pool that was featured in Meet the Fockers?
That's right. I know, because we've talked about it on the show 30 or 40 times.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Yeah,
new listeners all the time.
No, I know. It's a tremendous story. That pool's beautiful. I mean, what a gorgeous spike from Stiller. What's it like having space in a backyard? Tell us, people in the city, what it's like. Is it nice?
Hey, it's just a matter of decision-making.
I understand. I'm not saying it as judgment. I'm not saying it as like you're better and I'm angry. I'm saying
we're on equal footing financially.
Equal footing, yeah. No, that is probably right. Can you
Michael's
tell me
the one that's in a different stratosphere.
Completely. Get out of my pocket. You have no idea.
And he's still scared of the packages. You going to open the package you need to open this weekend?
We'll see.
Because we were all... Don, did you open yours?
No, but not for different reasons than Michael.
Because
apparently
yours?
There's another one coming, and I don't want to, you know, just have a bunch of open boxes with signs all over the place.
Oh, so are we talking... Forget it. You know what? I currently only have two. I only have two of these huge Michael K. Show monstrosities in my house. I live in a New York City apartment, by the way, Don, in case you didn't know.
Oh, sure.
It's a New York City apartment.
It's sumptuous, though.
It's sumptuous to Jace, but I have a living room, I have a bedroom, and I have this guest room, which if I could turn the camera around, I would show you. The entire guest room has been turned into a studio. But I need to have three signs. And Don, I'm curious. Do you think my name's on any of the signs?
No.
I have three huge Michael K. posters in my house. So at least if I get my house robbed, people will think it's Michael K.'s house. They'll be disappointed when they see what I have.
Something that's never been uttered until now in the history of the medium.
What?
Make sure Don and Peter's name is in the shot.
No, that couldn't be said. It'd be impossible. So we haven't touched on this in a little while, and that would be the madness with Giants corner DeAndre Baker. As of Friday afternoon, Baker had not yet turned himself into authorities, but his attorney has been in contact with detectives in Miami. Now, he was the Giants taken in the first round by the Giants in 2019. And he's currently being charged reportedly with 4 counts of armed robbery with a firearm and 4 counts of aggravated assault stemming from an incident Wednesday night in the Miami area when him and Quentin Dunbar, the new Seahawks corner who came over from Washington, supposedly robbed people of money and watches. Obviously, we're hoping just to simplify things and that they turn themselves in within a reasonable amount of time, says the public information officer in the Miramar Police Department. Yes, there are warrants out for their arrest, and if they do not turn themselves in, this is just in general terms, if someone with a warrant for his arrest with these type of charges, if they don't turn themselves in within a reasonable amount of time, obviously, there are other avenues we're going to take. Now, guys, I got to tell you, isn't it getting close to being a reasonable amount of time?
I would think so.
Oh,
if you have a warrant for someone's arrest and you know where they are, why aren't they arrested? Now, if they're on the lam and they're on the run, yeah. then that's a different story.
Now,
see, if the Giants are going to get bailed out of this, Peter, because they're not going to have to cut him. Because he's going to go to jail.
Well,
if
Baker's found guilty of holding a semi-automatic weapon, he could face a mandatory minimum of 15 years for each of the four armed robbery charges. That is a huge potential sentence. So there are mixed people are saying mixed things about whether or not Dunbar had a weapon or if it was just Baker that did, but they grabbed a bunch of watches and money. And it's truly one of the more insane stories of an active professional athlete in this country that I can remember in a while.
Now, I guess his defense would be that was money that was owed to him, right? Because he felt like that money was taken from him.
Now, I'm not sure. From what I read, Don, he lost the money, but these are different people, I think.
And even if you lost the money, how is that owed to you?
No. I am not defending him by any stretch. I'm just saying, what could his story be? Kind of like the O.J. Simpson, right? Like O.J. Simpson claimed he went into that hotel room because money was taken from him. He was just taking what he felt he deserved for that autograph show. Is it somewhere in that kind of vicinity? I don't know, but I don't know how you make that decision. You've got the whole world. You're an NFL player. Even if you got robbed of that money, that's the way you resolve it?
It's. We can try to figure it out, but I really am curious to hear the rest of the story, though. Like, how would Quentin Dunbar, why would, there's just so many questions.
Well, there could be one person, right, that felt like they didn't know that was going to go down when they agreed to go in the room.
Like, for sure.
Whoever was unarmed, is it possible,
talking
about a semi-automatic weapon, so I don't know how that gets disguised or whatever. But
a semi-automatic, I'm not a big gun guy, I don't know if you know that.
Nor am I.
But I think there are semi-automatic handguns.
So I guess somebody could say, I didn't know that was going to go down. I was just going in. I thought I was going into a room to a party or whatever. I didn't know that was going to go down.
Yeah, for sure. I can't imagine Quentin Dunbar is going to try to ride along with this if he didn't have the gun. All right, let's move on to something normal in the realm of football, and that would be Aaron Rodgers' reaction to the pick of Jordan Love. He gave his first interview since, and he says he was surprised by the Love pick.
General reaction at first was surprise. I think, like many people, I'm not going to say that I was thrilled by the pick necessarily, but I understand the organization is thinking not only about present but about the future, and I respect that. You know, I understand their focus and their mindset, and obviously they thought that he was such a great talent that they needed to go up and get him. Like I said, generally surprised, but it's what those guys are paid to do, to put together a roster for now and for the future as well.
You can't hate that answer if you're a Packers fan.
No, I mean, but you wonder what he's saying behind closed doors.
Sure, but I'm saying, I mean, he's a pretty straight shooter, and I appreciate him saying he was surprised, but it certainly doesn't sound like there's not an extra layer of bitterness. And we know with Aaron Rodgers, we've seen him when he's frustrated, he's usually pretty direct about it.
And again, the frustration I don't think lies in, I can't believe you went out and drafted my replacement. It's, I can't believe that you drafted my replacement in lieu of helping a 3-13 team with an offensive weapon. Right? Why are you thinking about the future when we're a 3-13 team? We're a win away from going to the Super Bowl. Why aren't you trying to help me in the now?
But can I go out on a limb and say he will not finish his career in Green Bay? Sorry, Ballard.
Ballard, by the way, is literally, up until the second I got back from commercial, filling my phone with how everything's fine and there's no reason to think they're going to break up.
He's a Packer hack.
He's a hacker.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think if they still want him and he's still playing well, he's not going to go anywhere.
Now,
he'll make them get rid of him.
Well, that's the thing. It just depends if he's happy with what they do. If he feels like next year they come out and he doesn't have the requisite weapons to compete, and they're not making those moves, maybe he'll say, you know what, I'm good on this. Go with your new quarterback you drafted. Now, he did go on to say he is not going to take out his frustration on Jordan Love.
He didn't get asked to be drafted by the Packers. There's nothing he's not to blame at all. You know, he's just coming in excited about his opportunity. We had a great conversation the day after the draft, and I'm excited to work with him. You know, he seems like a really good kid with his good head on his shoulders and similar story, not heavily recruited out of college and kind of made his way at Utah State, and we've had some good conversations.
He hates him.
No.
Come on. I
thought he sounded genuine, Peter.
I did too. I think the only part of it that I really think Ballard refuses to see because he's too much of a Packer fanboy.
Does he wear a cheese head?
Oh yeah.
And sure then does. He eats the whole thing.
Well, but it's not real cheese, anyways. But
he's eating foam rubber.
No, but he doesn't eat. Ballard doesn't eat cheese during the games. He usually eats large quantities of beef sent to him by his favorite meat place in Chicago.
I'm a big meat guy.
He can't get meat in New York City. He has to get it from Chicago.
He's got a place that he likes. His brother sends it to him. It's a whole thing. It's quite good, though. I've had it. He's made me the sandwiches. They are an absolute delight. But is that, I think he doesn't necessarily appreciate that there are times in which Aaron Rodgers seems incredibly difficult to deal with. And at some point, you know, Ballard also kind of has refused to see, and I can't speak for other Packers fans. I'm sure we have plenty listening. I think sometimes you guys refuse to see that he's taking it down a tick. He is not the player he was 5 years ago. He's still a top quarterback, but he's not the guy who did the impossible. He seems a little bit more mortal. So, Don, when you're watching a game, and I've actually seen Ballard get momentarily frustrated. He may not admit it, but I've seen it. Those moments where Rodgers decides in the first half second of a play there's nothing and throws the ball into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's a frustrating thing if you're a coach or a teammate.
But they were 3-13.
No, they were 13-3.
Yeah. I mean, they're 13-3. Not for a moment did I think they were winning the Super Bowl, by the way.
But they were a very good team.
And so you can look at it and say, well, you got to think about the future because Rodgers is losing a step. Or do you look at it and say, he's losing a step, but we're still good enough. We should be aggressive in getting him a weapon to get him one more kick at the can.
I still think you do that. I mean, he's an iconically great player for your franchise. I'm gunning for one more, but
now I'd love to ask a Packer fan, when this is all said and done, who do you hold in higher regard, Favre or Rodgers? Make no mistake,
if he gets another
Rodgers
Super Bowl, that's two for Rodgers.
I think Rodgers only won one. He's been
won one.
Well, if he gets another one, I'm saying
if he gets another one, I guess that'd be the tiebreaker. Now, Rodgers is a much better quarterback than Favre was, in my opinion.
Well, skill set wise, I agree.
Who gets the vote? Bart Starr.
They've had a good run with quarterbacks.
Well, Don Majkowski, I think he's
the magic man.
I think when it's all said and done, Lynn Dickey is winning that argument.
It's a good point. Now, so just a couple days ago, James Harrison, the former Steeler linebacker.
Very good.
Very, very good. And one of the most terrifying men you'll ever see in your life. He could literally punt. James Harrison could pick up Don LaGreca and punt him off the bridge like Baxter. That's how big James Harrison is. So Harrison did an interview in which he said that basically the coolest thing that Mike Tomlin ever did was, quote, give him an envelope following a helmet-to-helmet hit in 2010 in which he was fined $75,000. That now turned into a sort of bounty gate story that was going around and was Mike Tomlin paying his players in that way. So Art Rooney had to put out a statement and say, I'm very certain nothing like this ever happened. I have no idea why James would make a comment like this, but there's simply no basis for believing anything like this. So then an Instagram caption popped up and Harrison said Tomlin never put a bounty on anyone.
He didn't address that the envelope, though.
He said, y'all really comparing what I said to Bounty Gate. Mike T never paid me for hurting someone or trying to hurt someone or put a bounty on anybody. And I got to tell you guys, to me, this seems pretty simple.
Yeah.
They thought the call was BS. Right. So if it happened, Tomlin said, here's the money for it.
Yeah.
You played good football.
How often do you think teams pay players fines? Probably all the time.
Right, especially if they look at it and go, that was completely clean. That's the way we want you to play the game.
Whether it's handed to you in an envelope or given to you in check form by management. Michael, I think that happens in baseball, too.
But wait one minute. I'm going to take the contrarian view here.
Of course you would.
Because you're a bad guy.
A good.
You think that Greg Williams and Sean Payton are the only people that have paid people to hurt people?
Mm.
I'm not saying it goes on now. I think there's a different sensibility. But you don't think coaches in the past said, take that quarterback out at the legs and there's money in it for you?
Come on. A lot fewer than paying somebody's fine.
I don't know. I just don't think Bountygate started and ended in New Orleans.
No, I don't think it started and ended, but I don't think it happened that often.
I think it happened much more often than you think.
Well, then we would have found out it more than just once. But
most people
think
don't open their trap.
But I do think that on a ticky-tack foul, you get fined $75,000, and they're like, that's awful. You know what? We're going to pay your fine.
So he put $75,000 in an envelope in cash. You can't put it in a check because then it's going to be traceable. He put $75,000 in an envelope and said, here you go, James.
Yeah. Like I said, it's traceable, but I'm sure I don't think it happens often that the head coach hands it to him. But, no, they're paying his fine. He's making a statement. But even if it doesn't happen that often, Michael, that is much different than saying, I will give you $75,000.
To go hurt someone.
But I don't think that's the case. I think that he might have had this great hit. And then the coach gave him the money. He didn't say, go get that great hit, but it was kind of a reward.
But he was fined for the hit.
For the hit. That paid for the fine.
But I love, Rooney going, I can't, there's no proof of that. It's like the character in Casablanca. Gambling in this establishment? Come on.
No, right. But he's not gonna admit that there's a bounty gate because it's not a bounty gate situation.
It's not a bounty gate, but I bet it's a reward.
No,
but
it's not a reward.
But not for hurting someone.
No, it's
not even
that
a
was
award.
A bogus fine. We're going to pay.
Then why
your
did
fine.
Harrison come up and say this? Why did he even open his trap?
He thought it was cool that he did it. He thought
that
it was
cool
that Tomlin,
his coach
that Tomlin supported
then
his
why
player.
Didn't he say that? Tomlin paid my fine for me. It's better than what he intimated.
Listen, I can't argue with you all day. I have an update on the first story. Okay. Breaking news here.
Yes.
Seattle Seahawks cornerback Quentin Dunbar claims he did not pull out a gun and rob people at a Florida cookout and claims he has five witnesses who will back it up. His attorney, Michael Grieco, told TMZ, five witnesses came to his office Friday morning and signed sworn affidavits insisting Dunbar was not involved in the May 13th incident. Quote, my client is innocent. Never been arrested before. This man's never been in handcuffs, never been in trouble. He didn't do anything wrong. He's completely innocent.
But where does Baker stand now?
That I don't know.
Now, I don't want to impugn anybody.
Don't impugn.
Because that's not my way.
You're not an impugner.
But this party sounds like it wasn't exactly, SpongeBob SquarePants. It sounds like a rough party. To get five people to lie, I don't think would be that difficult. Just saying.
That is a reach. I think that
Really?
You say you don't want to impugn? I think you impugn.
Okay,
Don,
so
what do you think? I think that's impugn.
I'm not saying that's what took place, but this doesn't sound like a party where it was all on the up and up, where people are wearing $25,000 watches and throwing money around.
Five people that came to his defense robbed?
Yeah, we have no idea. They could have been his buddies that were with him. And now, so he's flipping on DeAndre Jordan.
Baker. Jordan has nothing
DeAndre,
to do with
this. DeAndre Baker, he's flipping on him.
Well, I don't know.
So now
that.
DeAndre Baker's going to come out with five people and say he didn't have a gun. Then gun.
But hold on. He didn't. Did he flip on him? He didn't say the five people swore an affidavit saying that DeAndre Baker had a gun. They just said that.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, Peter. If you go into a party and DeAndre Baker has an automatic weapon with him,
semi-automatic.
You're completely clueless about this. That big bulge in his pants, that you can't even imagine what it is.
Wait a minute.
It's a semi-automatic weapon he's carrying.
I think you can make the case, Michael, that this was a party where there were several people armed.
Probably.
If I was going to a party with you and you saw me on my side, my jacket open, I had a semi-automatic weapon, would you go in there with me or would you ask me what's going on?
But hold on. But you're making that up. We don't know any of that.
Well, if Jordan had a semi-automatic weapon is what I'm saying. If.
You mean Baker?
Baker, I'm sorry. If Baker had a semi-automatic weapon, you don't think Dunbar had any clue that he did?
How do we know?
But he didn't know
that
was going to happen.
I'm asking you, what do you think?
My point is this. Because the story came out and people said when the story came out that it was about DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar.
Right.
What if Quentin Dunbar went in his car and DeAndre Baker went in his car and they met up and hung out at this party? And then at the party, DeAndre Baker goes crazy, does this whole thing, but people have been seeing him hang out with Quentin Dunbar and are like, I think it was both of them, him and Dunbar. And he has nothing to do with it.
You know
I'm just
what?
Saying
you
we don't
up,
know.
You bring up a good point. I'm willing to wait and see.
And it's possible, Michael.
But I'm somewhat dubious.
That in the gun culture we've seen, that he could have shown up at the same time as Baker, saw the gun, and still not think that that was going to go down.
Yeah, that's true, too. A lot of people are comfortable with guns. It seems crazy to us, but it's out there.
I mean, everybody, when Plaxico Burress was in the club with the gun, right?
Yeah, he was with people.
I'm sure everybody, including Antonio Pierce, knew he had the gun. Didn't know he was going to drop it and that it was going to go off, but I don't think it was a secret that he was armed.
So D'Angelo Russell did an interview with The Athletic, and his brother was also interviewed. His brother said Brooklyn was a place that he needed, as well as Brooklyn needed him. They were able to mold each other and build each other up. But when asked about giving Kenny Atkinson credit for his development, D'Angelo Russell said, "I'm not going to give it to Kenny. I still don't think he knew what he had. Honestly, I don't think he knew what I was capable of in the fourth quarter."
See, but that's bogus. Did Mike D'Antoni know what Jeremy Lin was? Sometimes you run into these beautiful accidents.
Well, D'Angelo Russell's more highly touted than Jeremy Lin.
I understand, but up to that point, Peter, he was a bust.
True. You're not wrong.
I mean, the Lakers gave up on him. He was a first-round draft pick. High first round. I guess Magic Johnson gave up on him, too.
Magic did give up on him.
Please, these people.
I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe Atkinson's not the... But I will say this. Maybe Atkinson's not the guy we thought he was, even though we liked to deal with him and the team played well. He's now basically had everyone flip on him. A couple
not
players.
No, 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 no.
Not everyone. Half.
Not everyone.
Half.
I believe that when the story is written, the biggest stars on that team will be exposed as the guys that got rid of them. Whether they want to deny it or not, whispers I've heard, that will be the story. They did not like. They didn't bring him in. He wasn't one of theirs. And that will be the story that they push Sean Marks, who can't afford to alienate his stars, so he threw Atkinson over the bus or under the bus.
What do you think's
worse?
That
will be the story that's written.
What would you rather do, go over the bus or under the bus?
I'd rather go over because you got a chance. Under, you probably get caught in an axle.
But you get tossed over the bus. That's a high bus. By the time you land, you're in bad shape.
I don't know. You can land on your feet. You get under a bus, you're going to get crushed.
There's no. Yeah, you go under a bus, there's absolutely no hope no matter what you do. Bob Watson, former Astros All-Star and Yankees GM, passed away at 74, Michael.
Good guy. Really good guy. Sweet man. He was really an excellent player. 295 lifetime batting average. He scored baseball's 1,000,000th run to much fanfare. And we told the story earlier. He was on second base. And all the games, they were timing it because there was a lot of money involved. The guy who scored the 1,000,000th run was going to get 1,000,000 pennies, going to get 1,000,000 Tootsie Rolls because they were one of the sponsors, an expensive watch. Everybody on the team's going to get an expensive watch. So he was on second base, and one of his teammates hit a home run. So rather than jog, he went into a full sprint because they were at 999999999. So the next run was 1,000,000. And he went into a full sprint from second. In Cincinnati, Davey Concepcion hit a home run, and he started running around the bases like he was trying to get an inside the park home run. And Watson scored 4 seconds before him to get the 1,000,000th run, get all the accolades, get the money, get the watches for teammates, and be part of forever in baseball. Kind of a cute story. And then, Don, I know that he holds a special place in your heart because of Bad News Bears.
Yeah, because he said, let them play when they were playing at the Astrodome in the second installment of the Bad News Bears.
And he did a lot. I mean, he's the guy, from everything you hear, had a big, big part in picking Joe Torre to manage the Yankees. He got Cecil Fielder. He made a lot of trades that were really important. He didn't trade Derek Jeter, and there was some pressure to trade Derek Jeter during spring training of 96. Why go into a season with a rookie shortstop? We don't know. He didn't trade Mariano Rivera. There's some pressure about trading him. So he did a good job in his 2 years as Yankee GM. Yeah. He really did. And was the first African-American GM to ever be the GM of a World Series winning team.
But he kind of falls in the Jerry Reese category, right? where I think a lot of that championship in 96 was credited to Stick instead of him.
Yeah, but he could have ruined it too. Huh. He could have, I mean, he could have traded Jeter. He could have traded Moe for Felix Fermin. And he didn't. And he brought in Cecil Fielder and he brought in Charlie Hayes. Those are moves that he made. Those were good moves. So he did a great job.
On this day, in 1999.
4.5 left in the game.
The Knicks have to get themselves two chances to tie or win the ball game. 4 seconds. Van Gundy calls a play, a triangle. That usually means something for Ewing. Out of Houston.
Houston ducks under. Got it! With 8 tenths left.
And the Knicks become only the second eighth seed to knock off a one seed in the NBA playoffs when they beat the Miami Heat in 5 games. Of course, the other was the Nuggets when they beat the Sonics. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
And the Knicks went to the NBA Finals, too.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.